each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Father.
How are you today?
I'm okay.
Good.
Busy, but
okay. We're always busy. Yes, you know, life is work, and we just keep working. So, but Tony's right. Not working though.
He's
on
break. On
vacation.
Yes.
So he's in
California.
California. Mm-hmm. California. Right. So he'll be back, I guess, next week, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So, anyway, and we've just come in. We're coming off a big heat wave over here too, right?
It was extremely.
Boy, I tell you, really
over
hot.
The weekend, it was very challenging. Especially in the church.
I went to the laundromat yesterday, and I was speaking to the woman. So we were talking about the church, you know. She kind of knows, or I told her, you know, because I was dressed as a priest. So
sure.
They know I'm a priest. So but they begin to ask questions, you know,
yes.
Like where's your church? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're just straight down division because the laundromat is on. Division as well, and then yes, it's a nice thing when you, and they're good people. I knew they were good people.
Sure.
You know when you're in the presence of good people, but they're people of faith, and it didn't surprise me, you know. But it was nice to have this conversation, you know. Mm-hmm. So she mentioned to me that she was a Presbyterian and that they're very involved in
their church.
They're Chinese, mm-hmm. and. So I was telling her about, you know, our church, and that we're open 24/7. The door's always open. I just stop by any time. It's a beautiful church, and you can come and pray. And I mentioned that we have a soup kitchen. And anyway, the point was that she works in their own shelter. They have she works in a shelter as well. In addition to being, you know, just active in the church, but
mm-hmm.
she said, "Well, it's, you know, you never realize that there's all these things going on, you know, in the city, and how people are, you know, in a hidden way, in a quiet way, yeah. in a silent way, living the faith and doing good things."
Sure.
But anyway, so she was asking about the church and. Oh, she asked if can you wear short sleeve shirts? You know, because I'm always wearing a long sleeve, or I'm wearing you know, the suit. And
sure.
I feel funny wearing a short sleeve shirt. I just, as a priest, I just feel like I don't know. You know, I've got now right now. I have the sleeves rolled up. Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't feel comfortable in a short sleeve shirt for some reason.
I've never now that you mentioned it. Yeah, you always have long sleeves. Paid attention to
so
you pointed out.
Yeah. For some reason, I just feel. And I'm basically always in black, even in the summer, you know, so
mm-hmm.
I might wear a gray shirt or something.
Sure.
But anyway, so she said, well, because the point was we got around to the church and, you know, is your church air conditioned? Because, you know, and I says, no. And how do you, and explaining the schedule as well, you know, that
sure.
we have six masses on the weekend in
yes.
addition to weddings and.
Sure.
And all that, but anyway,
under the heavy vestments and well,
right,
layers,
and under the lights layers, and all that.
Yeah,
it's
yes.
But it's good for the people because
sure.
it forces me to keep the homily short, you know. So I can see everybody's fanning themselves in the church, but no, we get through it, right? It's just like the weather's changed now.
Sure. And you think about it, how did people do it back then? there was no air conditioning.
And look at the kind of the clothes they wore.
And they
when you
were
think
more
about
covered
that, really,
now
yeah.
Yeah. than now.
Yeah, really.
Than back then than now.
So anyway, you know, Christine, I wanted to, I'm talking to you and talking to you
yeah,
out
to
there
everybody.
In Radio Land. I want to approach a subject today that I think might be a little bit, well, it is controversial, and mm-hmm. I think it, I don't want to, it's an interesting thing, you know. We live in this time of hypersensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
People are so hypersensitive, super sensitive, and yet that, and what that does is it stifles a civil dialogue, a civil mm-hmm. conversation about issues that are controversial. Or,
sure.
You know, can we talk about certain issues, certain things, without people, you know, automatically going to shut you out or shut you off or whatever, or you're hateful or you're bigoted or you're racist or you're this or you're that or whatever. It just seems like this is the society we live in now. And I want to talk about today and some of the history, and so you've been with me so many years, so you
sure.
know you've been part of this history, and you're Mexican. Your family came from Mexico.
Of course.
And so I want to, because this bothers me to no end, what's going on in the nation, in mm-hmm. the country. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about what I perceive to be the manipulating the minds and the hearts of the people mm-hmm. to further an agenda that, when all is said and done, really doesn't seem to have the individual in mind,
mm-hmm.
but it's really to perpetuate power
yeah.
and control.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is people become pawns.
Mm-hmm.
There's this manipulation. And I think I've seen this happen in the Hispanic
sure.
or Latino community, and I really don't speak about it because I know it's a very sensitive subject. And I know that even many of our listeners, maybe most of our listeners, are Hispanic or Latinos.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so my entire adult life as a priest has been, in essence, I've given myself
mm-hmm.
to serve the Latino, Hispanic, predominantly Mexican,
mm-hmm.
a lot of Guatemalans, a lot of Ecuadorians, and, you know, to these people. And
mm-hmm.
I consider myself part of this people.
Sure.
You know, I was born in Panama, so I always say I'm Latino because I was born in Panama, but that's because my father was in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
But I came here 28 years ago. I came to St. Stanislaus because I wanted to work in the missions
mm-hmm.
in Mexico. I wanted to work in Oaxaca. We had a mission in Oaxaca. And so I was there a couple of times just to get to be introduced and to study a little bit mm-hmm. of the language. But then I was sent here to learn the language, and then with the idea that I would, you know, be sent to Mexico to work with the poor, and our mission was really among the very poor people of Oaxaca. And so I came here, you know, because this was a predominantly Hispanic community. I think it's about 85%. When you say your family came here in the 1970s, I think, right?
That's right.
So at the time I came here in 1990, I came here in 1990.
Yeah, that's right.
But the neighborhood would, wouldn't you say about 85%
Latino.
Mm-hmm. Mostly Mexican, Puerto Ricans, Guatemalans, Ecuadorians, but predominantly
mm-hmm. Mexican.
Mexicans. And so I came, didn't know the language. I was assigned to work with the Spanish-speaking people,
mm-hmm.
and this is what I wanted to do because I wanted to learn the culture, learn the language, so that I could then eventually move into this mission
mm-hmm.
in Oaxaca. And if you recall, at that time, it was a very dangerous, it was a beautiful neighborhood. We had, I mean, you know, there's, I tell you, in every people, there's shades of light and shades of darkness. You know, there's light and darkness everywhere. It's everywhere. Within all of us.
Yes.
And so, you know, we just have to daily choose whether we're going to lean into the light or whether we're going to be under the dominion of darkness. Yeah. And so, as I came here, I remember the first day I got here, I took a tour through the neighborhood. I went into homes. Somebody took me around. I met the people, and there were a lot of poor people, and it was all immigrant. It was predominantly immigrant, recent immigrant people. Mm-hmm. Some legal, some not legal, undocumented, but I loved, and I continue to love, these people. And even to this day, even though the neighborhood has changed, people still come back. And so most of our worshiping people are Spanish speaking. So I have two Spanish masses. I have three English masses, but they're smaller in number, and a Polish mass. So anyway, the point is, I'm disturbed at this time. I'm disturbed by the way politicians, the way the media, the mainstream media, are, in my opinion, and I'm speaking, you know, from this is what I sense, what I observe, what I feel, what I think. I'm trying to reason this thing through. I feel like the people are being manipulated and used and highly, highly politicized to further an agenda that really doesn't have the best interest of the people in mind. Right. Now, so what I certainly the issue before us right now is the young people and the children in that have been separated from their parents at the border. These are families who have crossed the border and are being detained. You know, I'm not going to pretend to know the law and all that. I just know that people have to be processed if they've come over illegally. And, you know, we've dealt with that. Not only have we dealt with that, I've assisted. I've helped people. You know that, too. We both have because you work right here in the office. And so all the years of my whole adult life, I've been an advocate for the people, helping the people, assisting the people, helping them to get their papers and to get citizenship or whatever, right?
And this father and this country is built by immigrants. Everyone that came over. My parents came over. They had a visa. And they decided to stay, so they started their whole process. So
right.
Everybody.
And it's a lengthy process. It's not an easy process.
But they went through. You know, they came with a visa. They didn't come illegally, and but they started the process like many other immigrants. And I know the situation. Yeah, it's a very, very delicate situation. But yes, like you said, people are being toyed with, they're being manipulated.
And see, I would say, and I've told people often, you know, I say, you know, because I'm a firm believer that a sovereign nation has to protect its borders. Mm-hmm. Now, as a priest, as a Catholic, you know, I say the church has no borders. And so I don't distinguish. Mm-hmm. I really don't. You know, I mean, I'm dealing with Polish, Spanish speaking, the Americans, you know, those who are, let's say, European from the European. I mean, my family was an immigrant family as well. You know, or my grandparents came from Poland. So, having said that, I tell people if I wanted to better my life and better the life of my family, and I knew that I could, you know, come across the border into this country and, you know, establish something good to make really heroic sacrifices, as many of these people have, in order to allow their children an opportunity for good education, for the possibility of what do we say, the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean
happiness.
Mm-hmm. Then I would do it. Mm-hmm. I would do it. I don't fault anybody for not,
sure,
you know, wanting to do that, and for doing it. You, mm-hmm, know, because I've grown up with people who have, and,
sure,
as I said, we've assisted them.
Yes,
I'm always assisting people,
process,
all even to,
yeah,
this day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I say I absolutely respect the obligation, the responsibility of a sovereign nation to protect its borders, does that make me a racist, or does that make me whatever? It's a, every sovereign nation. If you go, you know, to get into Mexico, to get into Guatemala, you know. So the problem is, as we've heard so often, the system is broken.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the fault of the Mexican people or the Guatemalans or the,
mm-hmm,
whoever it is coming,
sure,
from whatever country. That's not their fault.
Yeah.
That's the fault of our government.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this has been a problem for many, 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 several decades.
Sure.
And so it's a problem that has to be corrected. It, mm-hmm, is a problem.
It is a problem.
And it has to be corrected. And so they've got to find a solution to this problem, at the same, mm-hmm, time, you know, safeguard, uphold the dignity of,
sure,
of people, respect and continue to serve people.
And like you said, Father, each nation has the right to protect its borders. Mexico, there's a wall between Mexico and Guatemala, and they don't want, when people try to get into Mexico, they will allow them to go through Mexico if they're wanting to come here, but not to stay in Mexico.
They
deport them
back.
And people don't know this, but this is happening.
There is
a wall between Mexico,
yeah,
and Central America.
Right. Yeah, that exactly.
It's a fact.
So this, we'll take a break here, but I want to come back and address the issue of what's currently at the forefront of the news,
mm-hmm,
and that is the plight, if you want to call it the plight, of,
sure,
young people, children, who are supposedly separated from their families. Now, keep in mind, if this is right, and again, I'm looking and listening to, mm-hmm, news from different perspectives, and so I'm trying to, you know, try to reason, you know,
mm-hmm,
what really is the situation, what really is the truth, you know,
mm-hmm,
when the president speaks of fake news, I'm convinced, mm-hmm, I think many of you, there's a lot of fake news,
sure,
but from what I understand, of the 12,000 young people that are being detained, and not detained in cages or in concentration camps as the media is trying to portray,
mm-hmm,
but are really, when you think of the services that are being provided for these young people, it's really quite it's quite astounding, really. You know, education, the ability for good food, exercise, and all that. In the meantime, as they're trying to process,
mm-hmm,
these people, but what I've heard, and I've heard it already now three times repeated in the last few days. Of the 12,000 that are being detained, 10,000 have come unaccompanied by their parents. In other words, they didn't come with their parents.
They came on their own.
They came on their own. That's a, you know, just keep that in mind as, mm-hmm, we're dealing with this. But I want to take a break. We'll come back and further look at this. A solution has to be reached, you know, mm-hmm, one way or the other. Upholding the dignity,
mm-hmm,
of the human person,
sure,
and doing what we can to serve people. At the same time, protecting, as a sovereign nation must do,
sure,
protect its borders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're still with me, and please don't go away, we will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I got Armin here. I just want to, so we're talking about, I want to deal with this this whole question of, or the issue of these young people who are children, young people who are being detained on the border, and I want to deal with it because I perceive, I suspect, I as I'm trying to follow the whole story, and this is not just here, but it just seems like there's just this manipulation. There's this using people for certain political agendas, or I don't know, but Armin,
I have a little bit of detail. Okay. If you really want to understand the dynamic that is taking place, go to the National Review online and look at their commentary where it lays out all of the legal issues that are incumbent upon this quote-unquote crisis. During the last administration, the same practice was occurring, although they tried to keep it quiet so as not to create a problem. Now, there's been a lot of misrepresentation right now in most of the mainstream media that children are being heartlessly ripped away from their parents. Well, Jeff Sessions was on, I know some people say, oh, Fox News, it can't be right. Well, guess what? You're hearing Jeff Sessions directly without a filter. And he was saying that if people would try to immigrate into the United States through normal ports of entry, there wouldn't be this problem. The minute you cross over illegally, you have committed a misdemeanor. If you try to get back in a second time, it's a felony. And so while the adjudication process is going on because of a court decision several years ago, that said that children can't be held any longer than 60 days. What happens then is that the families are reunited and then they're let back into the country with a promise that they're going to come back for their adjudication. And guess what? It doesn't happen. They're out in the country and that's a major problem. Then, there, of course, there are these children who come across the border unaccompanied. Or there's another problem, too, where you have trafficking. And these children are being brought in with adults who are not their parents, and there has to undergo a screening process. And those children are taken away, obviously, and put into foster care or taken care of in some other means because they're being trafficked. It's felonious. So there's a great deal of problems. And the loophole that has to be fixed is this ruling from the court, the Ninth Circuit Court, that essentially is called catch and release. So there has to be some legislative remedy for this. And, you know, whether you are a Trump supporter or not, there does need to be a legal remedy. And Trump is correct in saying that this rests on the shoulders of Congress.
So it's, and it's, so it's, in some ways that seems very simplistic, but that's kind of the way it is, isn't it? I mean,
well, it's not simplistic because it's a very straightforward process. The law is what it is, and one of the reasons
I don't know if you're coming through, Armin, you might want to switch over to this other mic. Okay. Yeah, we've dealt with this, you know, and just before you say anything, I was, and Christina, you and I, you know this as well.
Sure.
Our own people here over the years, so I'm 28 years in the parish, but we've had, we know too, you know, sure. Aside from this, you know, people that are being detained, but how many of our families have suffered because members of the family were kidnapped.
Yes.
Kidnapped. We dealt with several families, sure, like this, and in several cases, their children, mm-hmm, were never
found.
Yeah, you know, and the so-called coyotes, is that what it is?
The coyotes, yes.
They would send, you know, even they'd send. I'm thinking of one case where a belt was sent to the family or something else, some other possession that belonged, yeah, to that woman's son.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted, you know, what, $2,000 for this, and then you get, and then, mm-hmm, they get, and his family, the agony, the torture, yeah, the suffering that they went through. I mean, the poor woman, the mother, died, never knowing what happened to her son.
Yeah,
it's a lot,
know,
of corruption.
So, but anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, that's also part of the problem, and again, it requires a legislative approach to have a comprehensive immigration bill. And no one has been able to put that together. You can blame either side or both sides, but it has to get done. And I think that's why the president is calling in the members of the Republican caucus from the Senate and the House to try and get something accomplished here.
So would you agree with my frustration is the manipulation. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it a manipulation, mm-hmm, or the media bias or the hidden agendas, whatever it might be, that really kind of try to tap into the hearts of the people and create a false
narrative. Yeah, well, Brent Bozell, who is the head of Media Research Council, has been looking at the news and the coverage for the last several weeks. 90% consistently of all coverage on the president has been negative from the major news sources, NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, etc. How can that be? 45% of the American people approve of the president, according to the latest poll. So there's a huge disconnect here. It's obviously an agenda. And you have to think that there is no longer any journalism. It's all advocacy. It isn't journalism any longer. There is no objective ascertainment of truth, whatever that truth may be. It's all an agenda, and that's what's unfortunate. So, have you noticed that anytime there's been a positive development with President Trump, whether it be the economy, whether it be unemployment, whether it's been growth of gross national product, lowest unemployment record among blacks in history. So none of this gets reported.
Or even wanting to, what was it, several months ago, maybe it was a year ago, but going back to the issue of immigration, the prospect of giving either citizenship or what to... how many millions of dreamers? Do you recall?
Sure.
Can you say something about that?
I can't really comment on that because I just don't have the facts at the top of my head right now.
Which you think would be something that everybody would support, and yet it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't supported.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see that. You know, here's the dilemma. You have dreamers who've come in, who were brought in as children, they have become productive members of society, and they're paying taxes. So the argument for Dreamers is to have a pathway to citizenship. That's essentially, I think, what the USCCB is endorsing, although I may be wrong. The other aspect of this conversation is, if you are convicted of a crime in the United States and you are incarcerated and you have children, the same thing happens to your children. The children either go to a relative, some member of the family, or they're put in the system for foster care. So nothing has changed. The illegal immigrants are being treated the same way as American citizens. And so I don't know why there is this wailing.
But the separation is a temporal separation. It's not a permanent separation, not being completely taken away from their families.
Well, if they're in jail for 5 years, the children have to be cared for.
No, but I'm talking about, speaking about the, in the case of immigration.
60 days because of the Ninth Circuit Court ruling.
Or illegal, illegally crossing the border.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I tell you, it's, you know, I have a little bit of a history here with, and this is why I guess I tend not to say anything about this, because it's, I say it's super, super sensitive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People, because we deal with people who are, mm-hmm. Even Dreamers, I know so many. I mean, I love these people. I have their baptisms, their Holy Communions, their confirmations. I counsel them in crisis. I've had their weddings, you know, and they're part of my family. Mm-hmm. We're like a family.
And we've supported them, Father.
Absolutely.
Throughout the process that they're trying to legalize their status here, we've been there. You've supported them, and we've helped them.
It's my life. This is my life. But so the frustration is the misrepresentation,
mm-hmm.
the manipulation of these people, or creating this false narrative, you know. But we'll take a break. I have, and Christina, you'll be able to stand with me here, mm-hmm. because you know what we went through, how we suffered in this community here,
sure.
as we tried to protect and safeguard and serve immigrant people, immigrants who came here illegally, who were undocumented, who, as I say, for the church, there's no boundary. The church has no boundaries.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I can't say that a nation should not, a sovereign nation should not protect its borders. We created the problem. We've got to find a solution to this problem. At the same time, we continue to serve, to protect, and to foster a proper way for people, if they want to come into the country, to do so, and to benefit from the possibilities that are here. We are, as Christina, you said, we're all we are an immigrant company, immigrant country, a nation,
mm-hmm.
and so it's we're not anti.
No, and I think that's a misrepresentation too. My grandparents on one side came from Italy. They entered the country legally,
mm-hmm.
and my other side of the family came from Poland, and they entered the country legally. And so there was no problem.
Mm-hmm.
No problem with their first-generation children, because they were American citizens. And because their parents entered legally and became American citizens, mm-hmm. and wanted to assimilate into America and become truly American, not just, you know, Yugoslavians living in Chicago and keeping their own ethnicity and clannishness, for lack of a better term. They wanted, my grandparents and your grandparents came to this country to become Americans, because it was a place for opportunity.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that in our own people, our Mexican people, the Guatemalans, you know, who mm-hmm. have made, parents who have made enormous, heroic sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came undocumented, but, you know, again, for the better good of their children. And I've seen how these children have progressed. They've and the parents, you know, the jobs they had to work, and the mm-hmm. you know, even, you know, often people would criticize, I've heard this, you know, in our own community here, that, well, they, you know, the parents didn't learn the language. My gosh, I know how hard it was for me to learn Spanish, mm-hmm. and here these are parents who are, you know, working to put their children through school, mm-hmm. to provide for their children. Where's and they don't have just one or two; they have a lot of children too. Yes. You know, they believe in family. They have a strong sense of family and a strong sense of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do you find the time to learn a language? And a lot of these people were coming from places where they didn't have education, mm-hmm. by the way, too. You know, so it's a... And now there's also the dark side, which is, and we've dealt with this here, mm-hmm. and that was the problem of violence and gangs and mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. I mean, my gosh, how many young people I buried from the parish, from this neighborhood. But we'll take a break. We'll come back because I want to talk a little bit about some of the conflict that we had that makes me all the more frustrated mm-hmm. when I see this, what I call a manipulation or using people for political, to further a political agenda, really not with the interest of those people in mind. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's. Save the dates for Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois. More info at ByzantineCatholic.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We're here with, with Armin, the man of many voices, right?
You know, I keep them in my bag when I come in, and I just pull one out whenever I need one.
And you do a good job. So yeah, you know, I've never talked about this before. I've always wanted to because mm-hmm. I just find it so frustrating when I perceive that people I love very much, people I've been serving all my priesthood, all my adult life, are being toyed with, mm-hmm. are being used, manipulated. They're pawns in the hands of politicians, the talking heads of the media, to further mm-hmm. an agenda, a political agenda. And yes, absolutely, we've got to resolve this issue, you know, of the border. I anybody with a unless you're naive, you know, anybody with right mind would have to say, yes, we've got to do something about that. I mean, I remember when I went to Italy, I lived in Italy for a year, and I remember how hard it was to get into Italy just for a year, uh-huh. just to get a visa. And, I mean, I didn't know up until just a couple of weeks before I left whether I would get it or not. But I understood that it was a sovereign nation, And so I had while it was frustrating, I had to go through the procedure. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to Italy, I had to report not to one, two, or three places. I had to report to like four or five different places, you know. And I understood this. Well, this is, of course, this is a nation. This is a sovereign nation. I'm a foreigner. I'm coming into this nation. So it's frustrating, but a little bit of the history here, and this is why I find this frustrating and maybe even hard to speak about. Well, certainly to speak about, because today everything is so hypersensitive. People are so hypersensitive because of the manipulation,
yes,
of people's minds and, you know, tugging at the heart with false narratives. Yeah. There's certain truth, but a lot of falsehood there.
Well, things really changed with the formation of the EU, where the countries lost their sovereignty essentially to Brussels, to the European Union Council. And I have a cousin in Italy. He lives in Tuscany, and he loved Italy. I say that in the past tense, because of the open borders without vetting people who are coming in. And these people who are coming in from wherever can access public service, can access aid, and it's impacting the people who are actual citizens of Italy. There's a higher crime rate, and things are beginning to deteriorate. And my cousin saying, you know, if he were 20 years younger, he would leave the country. He's ashamed of his country for not standing up for itself and regaining its sovereignty. However, they've just elected a new prime minister who was elected by saying that he would change that, even if they had to leave the EU. So I see that Trump sees this sort of thing, looks at the problems all over Europe, and doesn't want those problems to manifest themselves here.
So how would you respond to, from a Christian perspective, because I know that in Italy, just the other day, migrants were turned away. They were turned, and it seems harsh. How do you,
when you have a house and you leave the front door open, and you have five people sitting on your couch, and they start raiding your refrigerator, and then they say, oh, by the way, you have to pay for our college, and you have to take care of us. But you didn't invite them in. I mean, that's the micro analogy of a macro problem. And that's what's occurring.
Yeah, that's, it's
what it is.
It's tough, you know. Let me just say a little bit about what my experience here was. You know, when I came here to the parish, and as I said, I came with the desire that I would be working in Mexico in a mission among the poor, and I was sent here to learn the language, and of course this was about 85% mostly Mexican, but we had Puerto Ricans and Guatemalans and Ecuadorians and people from Honduras and different, various Latin American countries. And here I am 28 years later, I'm still here. You know, the neighborhood has changed, but the people still come because we continue to serve and we're part of a family. We consider ourselves part of a family. So I say as a priest, as a Catholic, for me, I have, you know, I don't look at borders, but I understand and respect and that a nation, a sovereign nation, protect its borders. And so the problem is ours. We've got to resolve this issue. The nation does. Without manipulating or using people as political pawns to further an agenda. But politically speaking, so when I got here, we had, as I said, we had just wonderful people with a lot of faith, a deep commitment to family, really the bedrock of the parish in many ways, because it was very young and very vibrant. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the dark side was that we had a lot of gang violence. We had a lot of drug problems. And so I was dealing with that as well. And of course, the people were poor, mm-hmm. were poor. And so we did. I did everything I could within my power to serve the people, to walk with the people. I became part of this people. I mean, every week I was in a different home. I had masses. I had, you know, it was just a beautiful, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. We had street processions and
outdoor masses,
fiestas, and it was mm-hmm. just beautiful, beautiful people. And I've watched them grow up. As I said, I just had a marriage this past weekend. You know, I knew the girl. Mm-hmm. She's now a woman. I remember when she was born.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when she was born, and it's just I thank God that I've been able to be here with these people for all these years. But the dark side was the violence, the gang banging. How many young people I buried from the church? One of these days, I'm going to count. I'm going to go back and try to think of how many. And I mean, really
mm-hmm.
tragic, horrible things that happened to our people. We had at the same time, you know, there was the beginnings of the gentrification. Mm-hmm. Property taxes were skyrocketing. People were being priced out of their homes, out of the buildings. And so almost overnight, we saw our community change, which was very heart-wrenching, mm-hmm. you know. And so I did, you know, in the beginning, I worked with the people, with community organizations to see what we can do to safeguard these people, you know, keep the families united, keep them in their homes, because this was a community.
Mm-hmm.
It was a community. So we had a community organizing, a group of community organizers mm-hmm. that were very, they were extreme leftist, liberal, militant, and they tried to use the church as a platform. And so, I mean, I got caught up in this manipulation mm-hmm. where they begin to manipulate. They wanted me, certainly, because I was the pastor. I wasn't the pastor at the time. I was an associate. But they wanted me because I had the ear, or the ear of the people had my ear. Mm-hmm. In other words, these were
sure.
my people, so to speak. They knew to get to the people, they had to get to the church. And so they mm-hmm. tried to take advantage. But I was very, really quite astute to what they were doing. And while they were also supposedly wanting to protect the people, their tactics mm-hmm. were deceitful, conniving.
Right out of Saul Alinsky's
Rules. Well, that's exactly what it was. And I...
Who, by the way, dedicated that book to Lucifer.
Right. So, wonderful. Armin, by the way, so we were put through the Archdiocese, actually... financed, they put out a lot of money and had us go through this training, those of us who were in these inner city, poor areas, through this training. Well, you know, after about a year, we're working with these community organizers. I went to a retreat. We were called into a retreat, and about midway in the retreat, I had to leave because I realized that this was Saul Alinsky, and the tactics were the very tactics that are being used in government. Certainly in the previous administration, mob mentality, deceit, lies, without, you know, in any way feeling remorse. And this is what they were doing. And I told the people, I told our people, we this is not who we are. You know, we'll fight for justice. We'll fight for your rights. We'll work for your rights. In a way that is in keeping with our faith, with our principles. And so this group that was in the neighborhood, in the community, then began to, as they do, malign my character.
Mm-hmm.
Even had this newspaper that went out, and they put on the cover, you know, a picture of a priest, which was me. It was a cartoonish thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, running from the people, whatever. It was just, the whole thing was very, very ugly. And it was very, I'll give you an example. one of our young people died. And they also worked, this group worked with the gangbangers. Mm-hmm. Even sending the gangbangers to Cuba, I think, for training. And this is a fact. And one of our kids, I knew the family. The kid died. He was killed on the corner of one of the streets over here in the neighborhood. So I got a call. It was after midnight. So I went to the home. At that point, they had taken the body away. So I'm with the family, a grieving family now. These people from this
organization
were there. I was there. I spoke with the family. I prayed with the family. I was there for several hours. I had to leave because I was doing a retreat for our teachers. And I told the family, I says, you know, I'll be back this evening. And I said, we'll have a mass. And then we'll begin the preparations for the burial of your son. So this group put in this newspaper that I went into the home of this family and told the people, I'm in the rectory. If you want me, you know where you can find me. And I left and left it at that. In other words, the point was that I did nothing to minister to this family or to tend to the needs of these grieving people, that I basically fled the whole thing was a fabrication. It was all lies. And what it did is it began to separate the community.
Oh, sure.
You know? And these are their tactics.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I see this is what's happening even in, this is what's really taken hold of the nation. Do you know what I'm... Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing that's frustrating to that other side who employs these tactics is that it hasn't worked. It hasn't completely worked. And they're very upset, and they're using any means at their disposal to try and disparage the object of their scorn, just like these groups did to you.
Mm-hmm. So this is where we find ourselves in a position today. You know, again, how do we speak? You know, I'm surprised I'm speaking about this today on the radio, because I know and I love the people that I serve.
Yeah.
And I know where they've come from. I know their situations. And I want to, you know, safeguard and protect them and lead them. Mm-hmm. And I can't but love them. But at the same time, I understand and absolutely support the nation's mm-hmm. obligation to protect the borders.
And good legislation will provide the both and.
And the both mm-hmm. and, that's exactly mm-hmm. right. Yeah, but even that gets lost in this false narrative.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's yes, and if you have people of good faith whom in Congress that the founding fathers had anticipated, it would be a pleasure, and it could be easily accomplished. But that's not what exists today. So you have to tell the truth, tell it often, to counter a narrative, and be Christ-like in your approach.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. you got to counter the narrative, and this is the hard part today. Is that people are hypersensitive. And this was one of the problems we had a few weeks ago. You know, I mentioned the president. I never talk about the president. And I happened to mention President Trump on the radio in a kind of jovial way, because it was the interaction he had with Macron from France. And I thought it was kind of funny. And
yeah.
And so I mentioned that. And for the first time in 10 years, I got a call, a negative response that I went to, and for some reason I went to my office and I picked up the phone, and you know, these are the calls that came in, and mm-hmm. I opened up one of them, and it said a caller called and is very upset that that this priest, this pastor, is against the Mexican people, mm-hmm. and I thought, where is this
yeah.
coming from?
Yeah.
Where's this coming from?
I saw the message and I'm like, they have no idea. They don't know Father.
So I called. I called back immediately, and we had a pleasant conversation. She was extremely angry, but see, that's that kind of hypersensitivity, mm-hmm. so that we can't even hear. We can't hear.
No logic.
No logic. No objectivity. Mm-hmm. No right reasoning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's all
exactly.
coming from the. From mm-hmm. the gut, you know, the emotions,
feelings. Yes.
And this is just, you know, I had written a whole letter this morning in preparation for the the bulletin. I'm hoping people can read between the lines, but it's like, what has happened? Mm-hmm. Where do we balance the mind and the heart? How do we come back to right reasoning? How do we restore civil dialogue? How do we, like you said, we can resolve this issue mm-hmm. so that it's an and?
Both and, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah.
Yes, both and.
I don't know.
Well, see, it's programs like Winds of Change and other programs that are on the air that provide an alternative to the mainstream media. And this program is uniquely positioned because it is based from the church's and Christ's point of view. And you look at issues, social issues, through that lens. And that's what's important. And that's what you don't get in the atheistic mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Atheistic. This is the point that I'm making in this letter that I wrote today is that the mind and the heart, this is a kind of begin by saying, do you feel your way through life or do you think your way through life, you know? And do you live under the dominion of the mind or under the dominion of the heart? Like leaves separated from the branch, are you tossed here and there by every wind that blows, or are you attached to a tree, grounded and able to stand firm against elements that seek to uproot? And see, if we're not grounded in God, if we don't have that foundation, you know, to safeguard our principles and our values, rooted in truth, which is, you know, God is a God of law and order, and He's merciful and just. And so we've got to, you know, this is the tension we live in, right?
Yes.
And this is, on one hand, when we talk about borders, mm-hmm. protecting the law, a sovereign nation has an obligation, otherwise it's not a nation.
Indeed.
At the same time, you know, to exercise, you know, mercy and charity and uphold the dignity of all human beings, all human persons, who also must respect the laws of the land, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, and this is, as I say, in each and every one of us, I know that in myself, there is this interesting blend of light and darkness. And as I say so often, I have to choose every day to lean into the light, which is to lean into God. It's kind of like the old sisters used to say, you know, there's an angel and a devil, right? And who are you listening to? So it's in each and every, we're each mm-hmm. of us, each of us is a microcosm of the whole of, you know, the society, regardless of whether we're Latino, Hispanic, Mexican, Guatemalan, Puerto Rican, Cuban, whether we're Polish, whether we're, you know, we're American, you know, which is all of this, you know, but there's good and bad everywhere. Mm-hmm. I saw two Mexican people. I was walking, I'm just about out of time. I don't know if I can say this real quick, but I was walking by the Trump, this is during the election, and they were issuing profanities and filming and pointing the finger. And I wasn't dressed as a priest. And I thought, I just bit my tongue and I thought, what are they doing? And I went, and so then as I was walking back, you know, they happened to pass me, and I couldn't resist. And I says, you know, do you, you're there, you're representing your people. And I says, go into that Trump Tower and see who's working there, not just in menial labor, so some como as servants, but you know, in offices and all that. Mm-hmm. And I says, you know, and they said, oh no, this is where. You're not racist. We're not saying that you guys are racist. We're just, and they even said, you know, it's African Americans are racist. I said, there's racism everywhere. There's racism everywhere. But I said, we have to rise above that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I says, I'm a priest. I told him that. The fact that I was speaking Spanish kind of woke. but the point is, we've got to rise above this. We got to begin to use our head and our heart, but it has to be grounded in God.
Indeed.
You know, in the full counsel of God in truth. All right, everybody. Hey, Armin, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
And thank you, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.